And ladies and gentlemen and nerds of all ages and genders, welcome to Voices from the Grid. I am your eternal Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan. And today I am joined by the fabulous, the incredible, the very sarcastic, our Black Ranger, Ben Taylor.
What up? It's me, your boy.
So today, Ben and I are reviewing TJ's Identity Crisis, Flashes of Darkonda, and the Rangers' Mega Voyage. How excited are you, Ben?
I am more excited than I am going to be for other episodes in this season.
Okay, we'll take it. We'll take it.
I genuinely believe that one of these three might be the best episode of In Space.
Ooh, okay, okay. I'm excited. So I guess we'll start with TJ's Identity Crisis. So the quick summary
spoiler
here.
Spoiler alert, it's not this one.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. I think I know which one it is. So the summary for this episode says that a blow to the head causes TJ to lose his memory, just as three Rangers are captured by Darkonda, who has absorbed Ecliptor and became Darklipter. So first, Ben, do you think TJ's Identity Crisis is the correct title of this episode?
No, because he doesn't. Well, yes and no, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because for one, it totally buries the lead of this feud between Darkonda and Ecliptor, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, let's be honest, the actual main story of this episode. Also, while he has a crisis with his identity, he doesn't have what is commonly known as an identity crisis.
Like, if anything, I don't know, remember the episode where Carlos is sort of inadvertently responsible for Cassie getting hurt, and so he has a kind of like a crisis of faith, and that's when Adam shows up and kind of helps him through it. I had zero recollection of this episode. Yeah, really though, but I really thought this was gonna be like, when I read the concept of, oh, TJ has an identity crisis, I'm like, oh, we're finally going to address this whole thing about, TJ no longer being, the leader of the Rangers.
Leader of the team, yeah.
Maybe there'll be some tension with Andros, and we got none of that.
What we got was the start of a trend in Power Rangers that I wish was much less of a trend.
Which trend is that?
Which is the feuding generals.
Oh, you're right.
There was a little bit of a feud with Rito and Goldar to begin with, but they ended up becoming buddies, right?
Yeah.
But
they were like a comedy dynamic duo at one point.
Yeah. In Space is credited with starting. I know we'll talk about this closer towards the end of the season, because I've already made my notes for the last few episodes, and it's something I'm going to bring up in an episode I'm hosting. But In Space is credited with starting a lot of trends in Power Rangers, right? And one of the major ones it's credited with starting is the everything goes wrong finale arc, right? Even though that happened in Turbo, and even though that happened at the end of Mighty Morphin, right?
What's Turbo?
Yeah, right. What it doesn't get a lot of credit for is the feuding generals, which we will see again in Lost Galaxy. We'll see in Lightspeed Rescue. We'll see in pretty much every season moving forward.
Now that you say it, I can't unsee it, because I'm even looking as far as SPD and Dino Thunder. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah. It'll happen all the way up through Operation Overdrive, and that's because there aren't really generals in Operation Overdrive.
I mean, even in RPM, we have a little bit of that.
Yep.
Okay, so I guess on that note is a perfect segue to talk about the main plot of this episode, which is this conflict between Darkonda and Ecliptor. So we will talk about Darklipter, but before we get to that, What do you think about Dark Honda as a character and his sort of position in this episode before we get to the Dark Lifter stuff?
Overall, I genuinely dislike Ecliptor, not Ecliptor, Dark Honda as a character. Mainly because, how do I put this? He's like a bad fart. Like, he's not too bad at the beginning, but then he lingers and lingers and lingers and lingers and lingers and lingers and should have gone away a long time beforehand.
Yeah, and we haven't really gotten into the whole multiple lives stuff that happens
Yeah,
later.
like this four episode arc that we're doing right now, that kind of started last episode and will conclude in Mega Voyage, that we'll get to at the end of this episode of the FTG. Dark Honda's fine, right? But that should have been it, in my opinion, rather than keeping bringing him back. But I think that is something that the Sentai is guilty of, in the, like the not guilty of, because the
But he was
characters,
more prominent in the
yeah, the
Sentai, so.
character's more prominent in the Sentai. They don't do the whole, oh, he's got nine lives nonsense. Just stop having them kill him. Just make him go away, plot for a bit, and come back. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a case of there's sometimes when he's introduced, so as everybody knows, we record these out of order. And so there's a couple of episodes later that Brian and I recorded where that gets into the kind of one of the main arcs of the season, which has to do with Andros and his sister. And so there, it's interesting to see a little bit more of who Dark Honda is and what motivates him. So it was at that point. So hearing what you're saying, and kind of thinking about where the character goes in those episodes, I was like, okay, maybe he hadn't overstayed his welcome for me yet. But because I'm watching these out of order, it's possible that I haven't watch the in-betweens to get annoyed yet.
There's a. I'm going to draw a comparison. I know certain members of our team don't like it when we compare too far in the future, right?
But they're
But
not here.
I'm going to just tr I'm going to draw a comparison between Dark Honda and Korag. So Korag from Mystic Force.
Oh my God, he was so annoying.
When I first watched the Mystic Force season, I was messaging these guys on Discord, and every other message is, "Hey, Korag, go away." Because he was just in every episode. He was the only thing they were doing, the only thing they were fighting. And it wasn't even done very well. And that's my feeling with Dark Honda. Like, the first arc is solid. As I said, it contains one of the best episodes of In Space. And then I just kind of wanted him to go away. Extend, if you want to get all the stuff with the Andro sister stuff in there, extend the arc by a couple of episodes, right? But just have him come in, do his thing, and go away.
All right, fair enough. So then how do you see this feud he has going on with Ecliptor? Is because a lot of Dark Honda's motivations as of this episode are still very unclear. At least until we get to flashes of Dark Honda. So what is his end goal here? Like, is he just a power hungry bad guy? What do you think about why is he going after Ecliptor so hard?
That's the thing, right? We're given this very, like, throwaway one line thing about if I tell astronomer the real you or something, right? Which I'm sure it gets covered later down the line or whatever. But I am recording all of my episodes in order this season,
Nice.
so I haven't gotten that far yet. I think they could have done, and again, they may have established this last episode, because this is the second part of the four-part arc, right? I don't get the enmity between them, right? To me, it's just like bickering siblings until there's that moment where Dark Honda's like, and now I am going to absorb you into myself. Let us become one with this weird tightrope I've got stuck to your back. I just don't. Again, it's another one of those things where if you extend the arc by a couple of episodes, you could have done a bit more work here, a bit more work there, and just have them just have Dark Honda go away when he's defeated at the end of it, right? And you could have done a bit more to establish Dark Honda's sort of motivations and things. And I don't think enough is made of it. I think at this point they're relying on the fact that Dark Honda will be around all season.
Because you brought up a good question about what Dark Honda has on Ecliptor, and I'm trying to figure out what that is. And there's only one thing that I remember coming up about Ecliptor, which is revealed later on in the season, which is that Ecliptor's loyalty at the end of the day is not to Dark Spectre.
There's also the fact that he was responsible for the purging of KO-35, right? But
Oh, that.
that's after Astronomer was no longer on KO-35. So it's
Right.
like, whatever.
And given how many civilians actually managed to escape KO-35, like
We're,
they're
all
not,
of them. You mean all of them?
right, they're not
Yeah.
really, these bad guys aren't really good at their jobs. So I don't know. I've always really liked Ecliptor as a character.
Yeah, me too.
He's just so interesting. And it really wows me. And this is, I think, a testament to good voice acting, where you can feel so much of the emotion and the character without ever actually seeing an expression on his face.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Dark Lipter here, because Brian and I shared some thoughts that you'll see in a few episodes down the line. But I, by the time we get there, there's a second appearance of Dark Lipter, and it doesn't really last long. But this is the main like appearance of Dark Lipter. So what do you think about the design, the concept that Darkonda can just like fuse them together?
So I'm the design of Dark Lipter is interesting, right? It is exactly what you would think of when it comes to if you took Darkonda and Ecliptor and put them in a blender, right? It is executed very, very well. I just because this is not the last time we will see Darkonda sort of changes form, right? Because we'll see it in the next episode, and then we'll see it right before the finale. Oh wait, that's Ecliptor, never mind. I don't know why they made this a part of his thing. Again, Sentai footage.
Sentai
Yeah. But
footage. So how do you see this all play out in terms of Astronema? Because throughout this episode, it's kind of unclear whether Astronema trusts Darkonda or not. So what do you think he had a shot? Is he like just trying to get good with Astronema and push out Ecliptor? Is like how do you see Astronema fitting into this episode?
so there's this weird, like you say, there's this weird thing where Darkonda is clearly manipulating Astronomer, right?
Or at least
And
trying to.
oh, he succeeds at the end, where she makes him a full general, makes him Ecliptor's
Oh, good
equal.
point.
But Astronomer's watching the whole fight with the Power Rangers, right? You can hear the audio of the fight as she's watching it. And Darkonda is basically telling Ecliptor that I'm going to manipulate Astronomer. I'm going to do this. And Astronomer's watching them do it. And then is just manipulated anyway. And it's like, hang on a minute.
Given that I haven't watched past these three episodes at the moment, except for the ones I recorded with Brian, I wonder if this is a little bit on purpose. Because maybe Astronomer wants to like keep an eye on Ecliptor to figure out what he
If
wants.
that's the case, they
I mean,
should have
on
done.
Darkonda, not
If
Ecliptor.
they're doing that, they should have built it up more, because it just comes across as stupid.
Well, oh yeah, the Rangers have a part in this episode.
The
Should
Rangers are
we
here
talk
too,
about
yes.
them? Do we care about what's going on with the Rangers this episode?
There's something that I want to bring up, right?
Please.
And I'm sure I will bring it up later down the line, and I know I've brought it up slightly before. But the episode starts with the Rangers playing basketball.
In very impractical for basketball
Oh,
outfits.
we'll get to that. And I will never find it not weird that with Zordon's life on the line, the Rangers are morphing around, like hanging out, playing basketball, going to school. Now, I understand in this specific instance, they are passing time as they are moving from planet to planet, right? But this brings up a bigger issue where at times they have to take time to move from planet to planet. And at the other times they can do so instantly. Like there's no internal logic there.
Look, maybe their warp drive was out of commission for the day. All right. The amount of random shenanigans that, yeah, no, I got nothing.
Yeah, no. Also, yes, let's talk about those outfits for a minute, shall we?
I mean, they look kind of cool in the 90s sort of way, but
My note says the Power Rangers say, let's protect our secret identity. Also, the Power Rangers, let's get our logo on the back of our identical sweat jackets and let's make it like a foot wide.
well, in their defense, they were on the Simu deck, so
Not the point.
like they wear these outfits outside the ship.
Not the point. It's just not the point.
My note is, who plays basketball in really baggy tracksuits? That is my
In the
note on that.
90s, plenty of people.
It just seems impractical. Like, I understand wearing pants, like if you're chilly or a sweater, but like it's so baggy that like it feels like you're like.
Yeah. Isn't this the only time we see these tracksuits?
Yes.
Wonder how
Actually,
much
yes.
money they spent to make them.
Probably so they could sell them for kids to buy.
But they didn't.
Yeah, then I got nothing.
They wonder why the show was in trouble.
I mean,
Were
this was
wearing
the
shorts and a
last
t-shirt.
season. The Power Rangers are over after this, remember?
So yeah, the Rangers set up the stellar scanner, right?
Right, to because they needed like a specific angle or something to search for Zordon to
That not
scan
that
the
they ever
thing.
say that.
Well, they do actually.
They?
Yeah, they do. Because I said, do they need to scan from the planet? Because, and then it says, okay, sure, search for Zordon. So they don't give the exact reason why they needed to do it on the planet
That's what I was
specifically,
talking about, yeah.
but the way that it's kind of implied is that they need like whatever angle they're setting it up on, will help them better search for Zordon than from the Astro Mega ship because reasons.
Because, like, my note is, why does the interstellar scanner need to be set up on the planet? Why not just set it up on the ship? Hell, even on the hull of the ship, your suit can breathe in space.
I'm guessing it was probably more for like a Sentai fight footage type reason.
I know. I
Yeah.
know that a lot of questions in Power Rangers can be answered with because Sentai footage.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything left to say about the whole TJ and Amnesia thing?
It was bad.
Yeah, it was kind of pointless because I guess they needed the Rangers first to have something to do this episode, and they couldn't just knock them all out or freeze them because that's what Dirk Lifter did.
I do like the fact that, and this is another one of those things that earlier seasons did, but didn't do as well as In Space. I like that the basketball game at the beginning set up the end of the episode because you had like the shot where Andros throws TJ, and then they do the same move on Dark Lictor at the end.
Yeah, that was
And
good.
I quite like that. But
I
yeah, I'm not
do
sure there's a whole lot much
also.
more to say about the actual Ranger plot.
Yeah, it wasn't really much, but I do like the fact that we also saw actually like the TJ punch in the numbers instead of just hearing the numbers being, pushed or whatever. And
Yeah.
I do also like that we're getting more and more of the Rangers, just like the quick morph, not the whole like morph sequence. So that's also kind of cool. Okay. So let's get to Flashes
Well,
of Dark
before we do
Honda.
that,
Oh,
I've got a
yeah.
couple of other, there are a
Oh,
couple of
yeah.
things I do want to bring up.
Go for it.
As I just didn't want to talk about the TJ part. First of all, we see some really cool flashes of astronomers' protectiveness of Ecliptor in
Yeah.
this episode. It is they are very, very almost blink and you miss them, but they're there, and I really liked that.
You mean Power Rangers can actually be subtle?
Oh yeah, I'm going to talk about a moment with that in the next episode.
Sounds good.
And then two more things. The first one being, I really liked that there was a moment when Cassie, Carlos, and Ashley were like trapped in the ice, and Sean was just like, just kill them, like, just be done with it. And he's like, no, I must use them as bait, but then it never comes back on him at any point, even when they escape. Yeah. And the third point is I wanted to talk about the Sentai really quickly because I know that one of the things we mentioned we wanted to do this season was compare the two because they're very, very different. Unfortunately, this episode absolutely isn't. This is basically a beat for beat Sentai story. The episode called Full Throttle, the Friendship Combination, in which literally Mega Blue loses his memory and Mega Red helps him remember.
Aha. Okay, so then that actually explains why this was kind of why it felt kind of like unnecessary in this episode.
There's a few episodes this season that are almost direct translations of Mega Ranger episodes, and this is one of them.
Interesting.
All I wanted to bring up on that one.
Very cool. So on that, we're gonna move to an episode that is not anything like the
No.
Sentai. Yeah. Did see? I knew. I didn't even have to guess. So that is Flashes of Dark Honda. And I'm guessing this was the episode that was the one that
Yes.
you're like, yeah. I as soon as I saw these three and you said the one of the best, I was like, okay, it's gonna be this one. Okay. So Andros does some undercover work on an alien planet, in air quotes, where Darkonda is hanging out at casino on the planet Onyx. First of all, it's not a casino, it is a saloon.
Yep.
He manages to beat a group of aliens in a can't believe it's not poker because, kids can't be teaching kids about gambling. And win Zordon's key cards. He escapes the planet and initially remembers that it was Darkonda who kidnapped his long. Well, he doesn't really remember. In the previous episodes, one thing we forgot to talk about, I think it was in the previous episode, Darkonda says something to, like, "Oh, nice to see you again, Red Ranger." It was something along those lines. So the next episode actually gets to Andros looking at old footage of his sister's kidnapping.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. So he get and the reveal in this episode is that it was Darkonda who kidnapped Caron, his sister. Unfortunately, he proves to be a challenge for the Rangers Megazord. So let's talk about this episode because it opens in with Andros actually having a nightmare flashback. Where, okay, so this is where it starts. He goes, so my first question is, how does Darkonda know Andros is the Red Ranger and is the same kid?
No idea.
Cool, it's fine. It maybe it, you know what it was? It was the hair. It was
It's
the
the hair.
hair.
It's always the hair.
So the
More
other.
importantly, when Andros was abandoning KO35, he stopped to grab pictures of him and his sister rather than, evacuating the planet.
Look, some people get more sentimental than others.
My notes is. Cold open features a set of pictures of Andros and Corona's children. How did Andros get these? I'm pretty sure that he didn't grab them during the evacuation of KO35. Or if he did, priorities, my dude.
Well, it's entirely possible that before, like, we don't really know what Andros was doing before the Rangers showed up. Or
Yeah.
before Zordon was taken. So it's entirely possible that he was just like searching for Caron this entire time, which
Yeah.
would include going back to KO35 just to see if he could find any clues. Even though, as far as I, because, timelines and Power Rangers are kind of weird, we don't really know how much time passed between Caron getting kidnapped and them evacuating KO35.
Yes.
So it's entirely possible that he went back to try to look for new clues as an adult,
Except for when
whatever.
they go to KO35, he's not been, he says he's not been there for a while.
Yeah, so it's possible he came back once very early on and found some stuff.
Maybe, maybe.
Okay. So the other Rangers are actually heading out to a planet and just leaving Andros by himself.
Did you catch the name of the planet?
Dagobah, it's a planet in the Dagobah system, which I
Yeah, I
guess
wonder
is
if they're
a.
going to run into Yoda.
Oh, okay, so that was a Star Wars reference. Okay, good to know. I mean, this entire episode is kind of a Star Wars reference. Because there's like a because he enters the cantina and there's like a little alien band there.
I do mention that it's very reminiscent of the Mos Eisley Cantina, yeah.
So the Rangers are leaving to scan the planet in their search for Zordon. So he re this is where he starts replaying the footage, and then this is when the realization hits him, like, oh, this is why Darkon
So let's talk
the
about this footage.
yeah. It makes no
This,
sense that it exists, does it?
huh?
It makes no sense that it exists, does it?
No, it could easily exist, just not in this format. Like, it could easily be security camera footage, right?
Yeah, but
What it doesn't make sense is to have a highly edited multi-camera setup with microphones that can pick up all of the voice text.
I mean, look, KO35 just had really good security cameras, okay? That they're highly advanced technology of a advanced human species that has superpowers that are never used.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about the setup and reveal of the fact that it's Darkonda that kidnapped Andros's
I don't
sister?
buy it. Like, Andros clearly carries a lot of guilt over what happens to Caron, right? Like
Yeah.
you said, he's might well have been looking for her like his entire adult life at this point. Up until Zordon disappeared. I refuse to believe that he hasn't watched that footage hundreds of times.
Right. So
And that he
why is it?
wouldn't have recognized Darkonda on sight. I refuse to believe that.
Well, I guess maybe in this case it's less of a reveal for Andros and more a reveal for the audience.
Except for
But
Andros goes, it was you.
he does. I got nothing. So Andros decides to go to the planet, which I am pretty sure is reused footage from when Rangers Go West.
I do have a note in here about the Rangers. I think at the time I called it their Wild West fetish. Can we talk about Onyx for a second?
Sure.
The planet Onyx. I love the planet Onyx, right? I love the concept of the planet Onyx. I love that it's Wild West themed, but like even in space, I like because I was a sucker for like Firefly and everything like that as well, right? I absolutely morphing love Onyx. Like you mentioned, the bar gives you that Mos Eisley cantina feel.
You got the little alien band.
Yeah, all the different henchmen and monsters hanging out. Like you see some Tengu there and a bunch of Quantrons hanging out and all kinds of monsters. All kinds
Aliens.
of monsters and aliens and creatures and all kinds of the people that the Rangers have fought or will fight at some point. And I'm clearly not the only one because you will either see or hear this planet referenced until like Operation Overdrive.
Really?
Yeah. So you have the key cards here.
Right.
Psycho Ranger cards will show up there
That's
later.
right.
After Kendrix dies in Lost Galaxy,
Yes.
Astronomer buys the Quasar Saber there.
You're right.
And then the in SPD, the Dino Gems of the Dino Thunder Rangers are on Onyx for the crossover. And then it's it in Operation Overdrive, it's where Thrax is based in the cross in Once and Always.
Wow, I did not pick up on that. That's really cool. Props to this cool planet that apparently changes colors. Because in space it has this like Saturnish looking, like it's like a little red planet with like Saturn's rings. But in Lost Galaxy, oh, sorry, that's Onyx and its moon. But I don't know, Onyx kind of looks more like Jupiter with a moon. So, we'll just chuck it to there's a very simple explanation. So I actually have a note that says love the Star Wars cantina. And we see Andrew's wearing so he's going after Darkonda wearing the same cloak that we saw him wear, or a very similar type of cloak to the one he wore in the very first ep scene in the very
Definitely
first
not a
episode.
giveaway. Yeah.
Right? That was my first thought. Like, bro. But I guess the generals didn't seem the need, the whatever, didn't feel the need to advertise the cloak because they already knew he was the Red Ranger. But I
Yeah.
guess Darkonda did not get the memo. So Darkonda's there being all Darkonda-y, and he sits down to play cards, and Andros sits down too. And one guy says that he's like out of money or gems or whatever, so he doesn't have anything to bet. So he throws down some key cards he claims he got from Eltar. So Andros manages to win, even though he's been accused of cheating, of I can't believe it's not poker, which Andros is, of course, very good at. And I
Or just
will.
incredibly lucky.
Also that. Darkonda seems to be like, okay, bro, you earned my respect for the next 5 seconds. And then Darkonda goes to chat him up and they have a drink together. And Andros plays up that he's a traveler and that he's looking to see if there's anything of value on KO35. And man, Darkonda is a chatty Cathy. He's like boasting. He's like, what do you think about this entire exchange before we get to the him figuring out that this is Andros?
So, there's a bit more to it that you've glossed over. And it's not a significant thing, but like Andros is all like, tell me about KO35. And he's like, I know everything about KO35. I was there. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, well, tell me about it. He's like, it's got trees and bushes and stuff. I'm like, what? But yeah, I like this whole sequence. Like very rarely can I go in and just like I can nitpick at this episode.
I mean, we could do that with every episode.
Yeah, but like what I'm trying to say is I can nitpick this episode, but I don't have a fault here in the episode as a whole, like
No.
start to finish. It's just a very good episode. And I really like yeah. This
Cool
whole
ex
sequence is good.
It's a really good exchange, and I actually have a note here that says, man, Andros is a little bit better at playing a mysterious bad guy than he was at the United Alliance of Evil Summit.
Maybe he's been practicing in the simulator, doing like
You know,
holodeck
if this, I
levels.
think they call it a simu deck, right? So Darkon is about to confesses that he
Like
like can't.
even the sequence where Darkonda goes to get the strength potion from the badly dubbed gnome, I think it is.
I don't know what who that was supposed to be.
But like even that sequence is great because like Ecliptor is hiding and like double crossing him and all that kind of stuff. It's
All of like
really
the
well done.
shadow work and the way the camera pans was well done.
Yeah.
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 So Darkonda confesses that he kidnapped a little girl from KO35. And Andrew's like, so what happened to her? And he's about to reveal when he notices that the stranger is wearing a Power Ranger morpher.
This is a moment where like he's like, oh, I kidnapped a young girl from there once. And like Andrew just crushes the mug he's drinking out of. And I'm like, where's that strength whenever you're fighting a Quantron?
Look, this is alien glass. It's very weak. It's you know, like those like in theater they have those like what there's a specific term for them,
The sugar glass.
yeah, so it's just like
But it's
very easy.
metal. It's like, eh.
Well, look, it's clearly not like real metal or earth metal. It's some squishy
Sure.
alien
Sure.
things. So they fight, and there's actually like pretty like honestly, for a kid's show from the 90s, some pretty decent attempt at CGI work. Like, it's not great, but because you have this, like, the Quantrons flying around as Andros is getting away on the
So
little
can we talk
hoverboard.
about the fight for a second?
Yes.
I love how, again, this is just another thing to love about Onyx is because it's taking place on this planet, the fact that they don't have the regular Ron Wasserman fight music. They have like this bawdy like piano music. And it makes it feel more like a swashbuckling movie than it does like a martial arts movie. Especially when like Andro swings from the chandelier. It's so good. I love it.
We love when Power Rangers does good fight sequences.
Yeah.
I also like the little chase on the hoverboard as he's
I
trying to get
could
away.
I got so mad.
Why?
Fly up.
I
You are using the Prometheus school of running away from things.
mean, he does eventually. No, I actually really I thought it was funny when he like like jumps over one of the little Quantron like planes on his hoverboard. So he jumps off. So the two Quantrons just like crash into each other. I'm like, bros, you didn't see that coming. Everybody else did. But Andros gets away with those key cards that Darkonda wanted. He was very intrigued by them.
Yeah.
So funny enough, I have a note here that says, should they have checked what's on those key cards? Which they do. They don't really proceed to like scan them, but Alpha does confirm that they are legit and from Eltar.
And he continues working on them.
Yeah.
So he is scanning them, basically. He's just working on them at the end of the episode,
Yep.
which is will be revealed in the next episode.
Yep. And then Darkonda drinks his scary little strength potion,
Potion, yep.
and he demands the key cards in exchange for information on where his sister is. And Andros, bless his heart, doesn't even think about it. He's like, okay.
Well, he doesn't know what's on the key cards at that point, does he?
That's true. That's true. But he doesn't even like pause for a moment. And that is a defining trait that Andrew sort of like, I don't want to say loses all form of rhyme and reason, but it's definitely like stop and think for 5 seconds, like before you start running into danger or, potentially a trap or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the basically they fight with the Astral Megazord or whatever it's called against
Like this.
their
So we should mention that this strength potion that Darkonda has taken was poisoned by Ecliptor.
Yep.
And partway through the fight with the Rangers, I don't know what it's supposed to look like. So Darkonda takes the potion and he's whooping up on the Rangers. And then partway through the fight, and again, I don't know what it's supposed to look like. What it ends up looking like is Darkonda starts sweating profusely. Like just dripping water. I think it's supposed to be like some kind of weird sludge slime thing. And he starts running away, and the Ecliptors are like, ha ha ha, I have poisoned you. And then he grows and gets all these weird, like, tentacly bits. And that's so he's still technically under the effects of the strength potion, only he's poisoned. But yeah, he's not poisoned because he can fight just fine when he's in grown
And
mode.
he's kicking the Rangers' butt.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, the Rangers are doing an okay job of holding their own, but this is like, what do you think of the fight overall before we get to what happens with the Megazord?
I kind of. I'm never the biggest fan of Zord fights. Right? They're not why I watch Power Rangers. But
I'm
this
pretty sure
kind of
that's my line, but yes, I agree.
Zord fight is worth watching because
Yeah.
stuff is actually happening.
Yeah.
I'm still not 100% sure where the second monster came from.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm still not 100% sure where the poisoning storyline went because he's just suddenly like not poisoned. But I don't know, man. Like, it's kind of a cool fight, I guess. I know that a lot of the footage will be reused later in the season. just not of actual Dark Honda, just of the Zord getting this the smeg kicked out of it.
Right.
But yeah, it was fun.
So it's interesting because the synopsis in the Ranger Wiki does say that Ecliptor tries to poison Darkonda. But let's see what it says. Okay, Darkonda attacks the Astro Delta Megazord and is too powerful for them. They tried everything they can to destroy him to no avail. The Rangers take the Astro Megazord, Delta Megazord for a spinning cyclone attack, which causes him to fall and explode. How he gets back up, and the cyclone only removed the effects of the poison.
That's not how science works.
Yeah.
Now
I
we've
got
had
nothing
both
on
of our
that one.
catchphrases. We've successfully used both of our catchphrases. Well done.
All right, then. Oh, okay. So then I guess he then inadvertently creates the second monster. Sure.
How?
I don't know. I'm just reading you what's on the wiki.
Because Power Rangers.
Yeah, because Power Rangers. Well, let's see if
Yeah.
the Oh, okay. So he came into existence when a scale fell from the mutated Darkonda after he survived the Astro Delta Megazord's tornado attack and formed this creature. That's still not how science works. This is a case of like it's Power Rangers, just don't question it.
Yeah, there's a very simple explanation for this.
Look at that. Twice it used both catchphrases in like the span of a
And
minute.
we used each other's catchphrases.
Yup. So I this episode does actually. So what do you think about the overall pacing of this episode and the fact that it actually kind of leaves us not like a big cliffhanger, but on a cliffhanger because the
Yeah,
Rangers are
it's
losing.
absolutely a cliffhanger. Like I said, I think this is genuinely might be the best episode of In Space. Just like I said, we can nitpick at it and oh, where did the second monster come from? Where did the poison go? Like, just fly up. Like, sure, we can do all of that, but just on the surface of it,
Yeah.
it's just a really good episode. It's
It is.
my one thing, right? I would really have liked it if we'd had a moment where when he's like, oh, I went off and did some recon on this planet. If the other Rangers are gone, you did what? Without us? Are you joking? We're some,
Yeah.
like, we went off as four people to go to this planet. Are you like, you know what I mean?
Yep, and he just decided to go to this like random like west planet
Yeah.
where one of their like main bad guys that they literally faced last episode was. So like, bro, come on. Okay, so then I guess is there any other notes that you have on this episode before we got into what kind of feels like a part two of this episode?
Let me see here. Covered that, we covered that, we covered that. I just a little bit about the Sentai. Again, as you were right, there's no real equivalent.
Yeah.
There's fight footage from like five different episodes. Some of which will absolutely come back next later on in the season,
Yeah, for
especially
sure.
towards the finale. Like seeing all the footage with the Astro Delta Megazord getting blown up, getting beat up, will come back towards the end of the season. Yeah, that's it. A really good episode. Can't recommend it more.
It was fun. And you know, the highlight is definitely that it accomplishes everything, gives us some interesting Andros moments. It continues to build the story arc of the
Yes.
reveal of, you know, where Caron ended up. And it's a good like character episode. It's like, you know, Andros focused. And Andros does get like, you know, a big chunk of focus this season for many reasons. One, he's newer, so he needs a little bit more development, but his story is very central to the overall plot.
Yeah, there's a like the whole setup with the I did a sister, blah blah blah. I kidnapped a young girl, right? As an adult, you can absolutely see where that's coming from 17 football fields away, right? Especially when you realize that both Astronomer and Andros have necklaces they really care about. But as a kid, I could see that being a huge thing, right? Like your brain isn't necessarily programmed to go, oh my God, it was Astronomer.
Okay, so then let's get, so speaking of Sentai footage, let's get to the Rangers Mega Voyage.
Yeah.
Which is like it's a direct continuation from the events of the previous episode. So faced with being defeated, the Rangers abandon Alpha to go off and to find the location of the mega vehicles, five powerful spacecrafts which combine into a mega Voyager and gain control of them with Zordon's key cards. But it should be noted, despite the Wikipedia's description, that they don't actually know what they're going to find.
They do not know.
They know it's a weapon of some kind. That's
That was left by
and
Zordon. Yeah.
that was left by Zordon on one of Jupiter's moons. And poor Alpha and poor Deka just kind of have to hold off for, I don't even know how long, at least 20 minutes against,
Souped up Dark Honda, yeah.
It's interesting that the weird like octopus looking or whatever, a squid looking monster follows them into space and they like use their thrusters to blow him off, which I thought was actually really cool. So the Rangers, so what do you think about this bit? Like they just leave Alpha hanging here. Not like they have
So,
a lot of options, but
this is
like,
not the first time,
I
nor will
know.
it be the last time that we see the Rangers leave Alpha to pilot the Astro Mega ship, the Astro Megazord, on his own, on their own, right? This is not the first time, it won't be the last time. And it begs the question, why do the Rangers ever need to be in the Astro Megazord? Because most of the time, Alpha could look after themselves. It's just this one time against like a souped up Dark Honda that they get beat up, right? I don't know, man. There's a moment in this. There's a moment in the sequence where the Rangers are getting beat up, and Alpha messages them and goes, the key cards indicate a massive weapon on one of Jupiter's moons. And Andros instantly goes, a massive weapon on Jupiter's moons? And my note says, the key cards indicate a massive weapon on one of Jupiter's moons. A massive weapon on Jupiter's moons? Yes, the weapon on the moons of Jupiter. You know, Jupiter's moons where the massive weapon is. The moons around Jupiter with a massive weapon. A weapon which is massive on Jupiter's wounds. You know, the poison for Cusco.
Well played, sir. Well played. So in case y'all didn't,
Wrong lever.
so the Rangers arrive on to this like super secret base on one of Jupiter's moons. And they go down like to this tunnel at some point, and you can clearly see like just Japanese characters on the sign, the kanji.
They look more
And
like alien runes to me.
I think he's actually Japanese.
Okay.
But either way it works, right?
Yeah.
So they go down and they actually like the set design from the Sentai foot is actually pretty cool. Like it looks like a bunker in on an
I will be,
asteroid.
that's because it probably is. Like when, and because this is the second episode I've recorded, or it might be the second, is it the second one we've recorded?
Yes.
But where they get a new Zord, right? Because I was also on the episode where they get the Delta Megazord. And when Astro, when and when Andros goes to get that one. He's very clearly running around the interior of a battleship.
Oh yeah, that was with me. You're right. Yeah.
Right? The interior is definitely that of a naval battleship.
Because that was the one where you had to put the disc into the correct slot, right?
Yes.
Yes,
Yeah. Yeah.
yes.
Yeah. And here, they are very definitely running around the inside of an industrial bunker. Like, is this isn't set design. This is location scouting rather than set design.
Oh, good point.
We also see at one point the iNet sign, which is the Mega Ranger company that the Rangers are part of.
Got it. So then there's like this voice that sort of takes over the ship and guides them to landing or something like that. It like
No.
gives him access. Yeah, there was a voice. It wasn't a voice from any of the other actors.
So you're talk again, you might be thinking of the Delta one, because that's when the computer took over and there was like the red alerts and everything. In this
Right,
one,
but
they ran down to the things and put the key cards in.
no, true, but I swear there was a secondary voice in this episode. Aha! No, I'm right. On their approach, they are greeted by an automated voice telling them their ship is under remote control. Fight me! Fight me!
Oh, you're talking about when they're approaching on the app. Oh no.
Yeah, here, here.
Yeah. No. Their ship being under control is when they're approaching on the Delta Megazord.
When they're approaching Jupiter, yeah.
Yeah. You'd
Yeah.
already skipped to inside the bunker.
I know I did.
So
I'm
I was
sorry.
thinking
That's
you were
on
talking about a
me.
voice inside the bunker.
No. Sorry about that. So they get through the hangar doors. There's the control panel, right? Hangar doors.
Yeah.
And that's when the bad guys show up.
Yeah, we need to talk about this.
All right, let's talk about it.
So the bad guys show up here and have a big fight with the Rangers. There's a really nice moment where a couple of the Quantrons grab Ashley because she's carrying the key cards, and Cassie takes the key cards off of them when freeing Ashley. And it's very blink and you miss it subtle, to the point where I actually did. And I had a note like, where did Cassie get the key cards from? And I went back and watched the fight. And I went, oh, there, that's where she got them. But, and again, I know this because I've already written my notes for later in the season. In the 2 episodes before Countdown to Destruction, which is the very final two-parter of the season, an astronomer sends Ekliptor on a mission to infiltrate the Astro Mega ship to find out where the Mega Voyager is kept. They've been there.
Nice.
In this episode.
That's a great moment. That's a great callback.
So why do they need to go onto the ship?
Because
It's
they
not
didn't know.
a callback, it's a continuity error.
Well, is it a continuity error because they like do they act like they don't didn't know where that
Yes.
was? Oh, okay, then yeah, it's a
Yes.
continuity
So
error.
they're having a moment where, like, we need to find out where the Astro Mega ship is, so we can, or the Mega Voyager, so that we can destroy it. I'm like, you were there. Why do you need to find out?
Yeah, like logic does dictate that they keep it in the same place where they found it. Yeah. So the Rangers do manage to get away. And they're like, is it, it's after the fight where they're like running away and there's like darkness and Ashley almost just like falls all over the railing. And I just have no depth perception, but in her defense, it was very dark. And I'm guessing these
and
helmets
no
don't
like
have.
lights or anything in on the helmets, no
Right.
dark vision in the helmet, nothing like that. No.
No.
Breathing space? Oh, we can absolutely do that. See in the dark? No.
So they do eventually get to these emergency vehicles that Zordon stashed on Jupiter. Wait for the question here, folks. Is this a good way to introduce the new Zords, or does this create more plot holes?
Yes. The answer to both of those
The
questions is
question is
yes.
yes. Yeah.
It's a fine way to introduce new Zords. There have been more egregious things happen. There will be more egregious things happen, like Gosai just handing out
Yeah, I
power
knew you were
like
gonna say.
candy.
Nope.
But it's also, again, I'm not sure this necessarily creates plot holes so
I'm
much
guessing.
as it makes Zordon out to be this Machiavellian plan upon, and this whole season does basically make Zordon out to be this Machiavellian mastermind of just
Backup plans upon backup
backup
plans.
plans upon backup plans upon backup plans. And when in reality, for 4 seasons, basically, we saw Zordon as the Power Rangers equivalent of an old man tottering around his garden doing like trimming the hedges, right? Like there was none of this sign of this Machiavellian genius,
Yeah.
which I think makes all the times in this season when this happens just not work. It just doesn't land for me.
It also, like, even if we kind of put that aside, it begs the
Zordon is the equivalent of Hans Moleman in The Simpsons.
Okay.
He's like this old man who totters around, and every now and again he says something funny, and he's mostly remembered by getting in the hit in the groin by a football. That's what the Zordon we know from like Mighty Morphin and Zeo.
Right, but it also sort of begs the question if, like, Zordon had all of these backup powers and backup Zords, like, why is this the, like, and granted, a lot of the what we're seeing in Power Rangers is really through the lens of the Rangers, except for when we're focused on our bad guys. So we get the bad guys' perspective and the Rangers' perspective. We don't ever really see anything from, like, Zordon's perspective or Alpha's perspective, with maybe with Alpha with some exception. But it kind of begs the question of, like, if these powers existed, why didn't the Rangers know about it? Why didn't Zordon or the previous Alpha tell anybody anything? Like, hey guys, in case things really hit the fan, we got a backup Zord on Jupiter's moon.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is what we are being presented is that we are being given this image of a Machiavellian genius
Yeah.
who realized that, say, the Zeo Rangers didn't need the Mega Voyager, even though at one point things get so bad that the Pink Ranger demorphs because she falls in water.
Yeah.
For some reason, he knew that the Turbo Rangers, even though their command center got blown up, right? It's like a heist movie, right? Or for something that you and I both really like, a show called Leverage, right? Where
The best show.
Everyone sees everyone else's game, but then someone is always one step ahead
Yeah.
or several steps ahead. So having this mega Voyager here makes it seem like Zordon knew everything would play out the exact way it did to this point. And I, again, that is never a Zordon we are presented on screen. We are
Right.
presented with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers equivalent of Whole Hand Mole Man getting hit in the groin by a football. Like he's just.
Right.
And that's the problem. It's not that it's a plot hole necessarily. It's more that it's just inconsistent. This the way that Zordon is portrayed from like Chase into space, where he's like pre-arranged with Nassada for this to happen, all the way through in space, doesn't track with everything we know about him from like Turbo and before. Where he's just this basic doddering old fool.
I will say at least the Nassada bit. Well, okay, that is it. I guess could make sense, but also doesn't make sense considering the Rangers have Zords that should be capable of interplanetary, like at least
That
basic space
are
travels.
capable of
Right.
interplay. They can, and as we see at the beginning of Mighty Morphin, they can teleport between planets.
Right. You know what? The more I keep thinking, you know, there's a very simple explanation. And the simple explanation is this is Power Rangers, don't question it. So what do you think overall about the new Zords and their designs? They're fine.
I like the combined the look of the combined Zord. The there is a point I want to bring up, but I can't bring it up because this is a PG-13 show. And that is the fact that the way the Zord looks when it is wielding the Mega Voyager weapon. And I'll leave it at that.
Right, draw your own conclusions here, folks. Yeah, so ultimately they defeat Darkonda and they save Alpha and then they repair the
They're
megaship.
slowly repairing the mega ship, yeah.
Slowly repairing the megaship. They begin to repair the megaship. Like we see them pulling out like busted circuits and things like that. It's really one of the elements I really do like about this season is that the Rangers are really on their own. There's like, yeah, Deca's just like a tool. She's not a character in the you know what, like she's a computer. Well, she's kind of a character, but she is a character, but she's like she's not a mentor figure. She's not, she's there as there, she's there to assist the Rangers.
She's more like a mom than she is a mentor.
Fair enough.
Because like
Fair enough.
there's this a really nice moment in Flashes of Darkonda where like Andros wakes up from the nightmare and she's like, "Don't worry, my dude. It's cool. It's just a nightmare. Relax." And I
Yeah.
quite like that.
So it's actually cool, like as they're pulling all of these circuits and stuff that are busted, they do have to make a lot of these repairs themselves. But also, like it's cool based on what you just said that like Andros kind of looks over and Deka's voice is gone. He's like, "No, we need to fix Deka first." So how's Astronema feeling at the end of this episode?
Confident.
Yeah, she's pretty chill.
She's like, "I want to push the advantage," which is something she will say multiple times in this season and then just doesn't.
This episode did remind me that there was another character that appears this season that I delightfully forgot about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elgar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just like appears at the end of this episode
Hate it. Hate
because
it. Hate it.
why is he here again?
So, I'm fairly sure you and I have talked about this before. But for some reason, of all the characters they could carry over from Turbo, they decided to carry over Elgar because they needed a comic relief general. and none of the generals that they had made, like, you can't see Ecliptor doing comedy relief, can you? You can't
No.
see Dark Honda really doing comedy relief. So they needed a comic foil. They needed a Squat and Babu. Well, all of Divatox's crew. They needed
I would have much preferred Porto.
yeah. Just
Porto
keep
was at least cute.
Divatox around. It would have been much better.
I feel like between Divatox and Astronema, there would have just been like a smidge too much scenery chewing,
Yeah, but I'd be into it.
in a good way. But yeah, Elgar just kind of shows up and no
Oh,
one
he's
misses.
been there the whole season at this
I
point.
know, but I legitimately forgot he existed.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't really like us in the first few episodes that you and I recorded together, he wasn't really in them. So I legit forgot he existed. But yeah,
Speaking of
Elgar.
people who don't show up, and I can't believe I'm about to say these words, but thankfully, Bulk and Skull aren't in any of these episodes.
Yeah. There's also really like there's no room for them.
No.
And these episodes also aren't like, and this kind of goes back to what you were saying, that like Elgar's here for comedy, but you don't need it.
No, you don't. But again, this is back when we're still in the Saban era. And look what happened when we got to the Neo-Saban era. Instantly, Ben and Betty came back, and
Let's not.
Jay Borg and all of
Yeah,
that
no,
came back.
stop
And
saying all of these scary, awful words. No. We're so far away from that. Let me enjoy the distance. I'm not ready to get into that. But yeah,
my
so
point is Saban has a vision for his shows.
and like in the 90s, it definitely worked, made a little bit more sense, arguably, than it did in the Neo-Saban era, but we'll get there when we get there. But L so that's it, right? Like Darkon is gone, right? He got destroyed. We're good. It's
Well,
over.
we've covered earlier in the episode that that's not the case. I wish it was, but it's not.
But you know, they do actually manage to Darkonda does at least what's the word? He puts the Rangers on the back burner a little bit because now they have to make all of these repairs. And Elgar
Yeah.
says something along the lines of like, you know, this isn't the last we've seen of Darkonda.
Yeah, Elgar's like, oh, that man will be around forever or whatever, and certainly feels that way.
He does show up later on. I think he's pretty much a staple through the rest of the season, off and on. He's not necessarily in every episode, but he's there.
Got eight more lives to go through.
Why? What is he like? Part cat? No. But yeah, we'll get to that when we get to that. Any other notes about this episode or anything we forgot to touch base on? I think we covered most of
Yeah,
it.
I've got quite a few.
Okay.
There's a moment right at the beginning when Astronomer realizes that the Rangers are leaving to go do a thing, and she's like, "Get my battle gear!" And then to the same person, instantly she yells, "Follow me!" And I'm like, "Pick one. Do you want them to go get your battle gear, or do you want them to follow you?" There's a lot of times this season that Astronomer just stands and watches the fights. Like, watches the Rangers fight Quantrons or whatever. And the way that she's portrayed, if she just walked in and hit someone, like, the show would be over in, like, episode six. Like, you know? All right. There's also this moment where, like, she interrogates the guy who lost the key cards.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, he won these key cards." And she goes, "Zordon's key cards?" I'm like, how did you know that? Alpha didn't know they were Zordon's key cards. How did you know they were Zordon's key cards?
Well, wasn't Astronema part of the posse that like attacked Eltar?
We don't know.
Well, we know the United Alliance of Evil attacked Eltar,
Right,
right?
but we don't know if Astronomer was there.
Fair enough, but we do. I mean, it's entirely possible that there were treasures or something that was looted by scavengers.
Yes,
So,
which is how Homie got the
right.
key cards. He says as much, right?
Right.
But he's not
So,
going to tell people that he's got these key cards.
right.
He's
So,
gonna
I.
like he they would know they were from Eltar. They wouldn't know they were Zordon's key cards.
Good point. Good point. So I don't know. We're just gonna, it's Power Rangers. That's the answer. That's it.
The final point I've got is a weird one. It's not a weird one. It's weird. It's not even weird that it stood out to me. From the moment that they discover the Mega Voyager vehicles, Cassie and Ashley basically stop talking.
Oh, you're right.
They have a line each when they're doing the vehicle roll call, like
Right.
Mega Voyager V2 engage kind
Yep,
of thing,
yep.
right? And then they have some lines on the mega ship at the end where like they're talking about the circuitry. That's it. Everything else they say, everything else that's said is the three male characters.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah. It just stood out to me.
That's wow, that's kind of an for it's a note of sorts to end this episode on, but here we are.
I was just sitting there going, I haven't heard a female voice in a while. Also, they don't understand what running out of power in a machine does. Because
You
they're like
don't
power
say.
percentage 0%, and like the Zord is still like looking around and moving its arms and things and can still stand up. And I'm like, nah, that's not what that means.
Well, it's like when it says 1% battery, so it's like basically dead, but it's still got like enough juice to like check your mail for you.
Yeah.
So Ben, on this note, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You find me on Blue Sky at Bob T. Goldfish, and on Mastodon, where I'm on the kind.social server, also at Bob T. Goldfish. You can also find me doing the video game thing over at twitch.tv/321_TV.
And of course, was there something else? Did I
Nope, that was
miss?
it.
Okay.
I was going to say, and what about you? But you'd already started your thing.
I'm just, jumping ahead here. So you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, Threads, whatever, at the Jewish Comics Queen. And of course, you can listen to this podcast on Spotify, on txhthockey.com, and you can also find us on Blue Sky and Instagram at VFTG_PR. And of course, Voices from the Grid does have an official Facebook page. Make sure if you are on Facebook, you give us a follow there.
Check out the link tree for the links to like the YouTube stuff.
We are everywhere. On that note, Ben, will you take us out?
Yeah, it's been quite an episode. As I'm finding out, it is, especially when we do the 3-episode reviews, it is one good episode, one kind of bad episode, and one why does this exist episode. So we will leave you as we always do, especially when I'm on, only when I'm on the show, with the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, by saying, guys, gals, non-binary pals, and all of those beyond that spectrum, please be excellent to each other. Party on, my friends.
And check out our next episode right after this.
Peace.